Praise God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wow. Well, get your Bibles out. I got something I want to show you. I didn't have any earthly idea my wife was going to sing that song tonight. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I want to show you something here tonight. Wow. I feel like we just got an atomic bomb. We don't really know what to do with it, you know? Proverbs 16, my son was sending me a word the other day, a scripture, and I didn't recognize it at first. I read it, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then I realized it was in the Good News Translation. And so then I went over there, and I was reading Proverbs 16, the Good News Translation, and a verse just jumped out to me, verse 4. So it'll read a little different than what yours says, because I'm reading it out of that translation. But at Proverbs 16:4, the Good News Translation writes it this way. Everything, everybody say everything. Oh, come on, everybody say everything.
Everything.
The Lord has made. Okay, so what's all the things that the Lord's made? Right? So He made you. Fearfully and wonderfully formed you in your mother's womb, right? You're made by God, right? Didn't come from monkeys, didn't crawl out of the slime. Right? So one thing you can say, you're made of God your Father. He made you, right? Y'all with me? Everybody in agreement? We're okay with that? Okay, then look at the next part of this verse. It says, everything the Lord has made has its destiny. Okay, now this is this translation I'm reading out of. What does King James say? New King James, let's see what it says. The Lord has made all for Himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Okay, that's not too, it's not anywhere where I'm trying to preach. I like the way this says it. Everything the Lord has made has its destiny. And the destiny of the wicked is destruction. But I want to just focus in on that one point. Everything that the Lord has made has its destiny. So that means, let me ask you this. Then do you believe that you have a God-given destiny? Do you? What if I could show you tonight? Let me ask you this. Let me take it a little bit step further, okay? So do you really believe you have a destiny? Do you? Is it a random, like throwing darts at a board that, you know, you believe you have a destiny? When do you believe that you fulfill your destiny? When it's finished, when your life down here is finished, you fulfill your destiny. Every day. Huh? What's coming from this section over there? Our destiny's already done. So then you're just walking out your destiny every day and accept Christ. Sure, random in here. I hadn't said yet. Okay, He's got plans for us. But what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is, if it says everything that God's made has a destiny, then are we looking futuristically at someday we're going to walk in our destiny, or we're just going towards it, or we're okay, let's think about this. If you're going to go... When I was in kindergarten, I didn't think about graduation, like high school. But when I was a freshman, I was thinking about graduation. When I was a sophomore, junior, the closer I got to the time, the more I felt like, you know, I was anticipating graduation. Are y'all with me? What I'm trying to say about your destiny is, are you living in a life that today you feel that you're walking in it, or are you looking expectantly forward for it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not talking about do you have one? I'm talking about where are you in it? Or are you in it? Or is it for someday? Is it for now? Have you already started? You halfway? You a freshman? You in third grade? How do you feel about your destiny? You ever thought about it? All right. Now let's go over to the book of Ephesians. I ought to just right now say, okay, well, I want y'all to think about that this week. And next week, we'll go on to see what the Word says about your destiny. What did I tell you to go to? Ephesians 1. This is right. Now I'm switching back over, and I'm going to go back to New King James. Paul, an apostle, I'm reading verse 1, of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. All right? I've preached this before, but if He's blessed us, then we're already blessed, right? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's not like a destiny that you're supposed to be holy and without blame. This tonight, it's too much. I might as well go. Let's just go home. I can't. Nobody really wants to. Doesn't that sound like a destiny? Your destiny is to be holy and blameless before Him in love, right? So then I'm asking you again. You don't have to answer. I want you to think. Where are you in your fulfilling of your destiny of being holy and blameless before Him in love? Are you first grade? You second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade? You still working up? Are you a freshman? Are you highly anticipating that you're a senior about to graduate and then you're going to be holy and blameless before Him in love? See, everything that we do in this world always has to do with you start someplace and you work your way up until you achieve it. Very little do we have to do in this world that has anything to do with something that happens to us instantly. We strive to get from one place to the next. Right? I did some research in our ancestry, and I found out that my, like, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was knighted from the Prussian Wars in Germany, and he was knighted by the Prussian king at the time. And so when Wynn Goss was over here, I was asking him, I said, hey, you know, you're from England, man. You know all about knighthood and stuff like that. Is that a perpetual thing? Am I Sir Richards? And didn't know it. And he laughed. He said, you know, if it was by blood, you would be. But he was not knighted for, he wasn't a knight because it was his blood royalty. He was knighted because he was a commoner in that sense, and he was knighted for his gallantry in the war, and so they made him, and it only stayed with his generation, and his son would not have been, sir, he was a knight, but it doesn't pass on. And I was like, darn. I'd have loved to had Wynn had to call me Sir Richards. Sir Richards, is it time to eat? Yes. Yes. Are y'all with me? Everything we do in life, we're so geared in our mentality that we work towards a goal. We start in kindergarten and we work towards graduation. Everything that we do is works mentality, works basis. We're striving to get ahead. We're striving to get smarter. We're trying to be better. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. Nothing that we ever think about do we even rationalize in life. It just, especially not something that would be your destiny, just comes upon you. Our minds don't want us to accept it. Our minds don't want us to walk in it. Our minds don't want us to be able to allow ourselves to do that because we see it as, well, we didn't earn it. But if everything that God has made has a destiny, and before the world began, He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Now, this is reading. I'm preaching Paul here. This is not Thus Saith Robert. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. That sounds like a destiny. That sounds like something God said, this is going to be the destiny of my people. They will stand before me holy and blameless. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasures of the will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. When God accepted the perfect sacrifice of Jesus and the perfect lamb came up before Him and the perfect sacrifice was offered for our sins, instantaneously your destiny came upon you, your destiny of being holy and blameless before God in Christ Jesus. You're not going to get that someday. You either are or you're not saved. Hello, there ain't no gray area. Well, I am saved, but I'm still kind of a sinner. No. I'm saved, but I'm still working through, you know, grace is helping me there. No. You are either holy and blameless before God in love, or you're lost and headed to hell. Absolutely right now, when you accepted Jesus Christ within your life, you started at that moment walking in your destiny. You stepped into not first grade destiny, not second grade destiny, not third grade destiny, not, you know, preschool destiny. You stepped into your destiny of being holy and blameless before God in love. Then we're supposed to proceed from there. But the Christian world's got it backwards. We're trying to get ourselves from over here to over there when we were already there. So how can we get from here to there when you're already there? You can't unless somebody leads you out of there to there. Somebody leads you backwards in life and brings you out of that place over here and takes you over here and says, look, this is where you need to start from. You either have all of access to heaven, heaven's gates are open wide, the throne room is available to you, all of, you know, like have you ever been to some place? I don't know why, it just really bugs me. Like if you go to a place, you go to a hotel or something like this, and you get a room, and they say, well, you can have this and this and this, but, you know, this is off limits to the section you're in. You don't get that. Just them telling me that there's some other place that I can't go makes me want to go, right? Makes me want to break in, makes me want to do whatever bend the rules are, whatever, because I'm like, what do you mean? You mean like my room and this only covers this, but there's other people doing something over there and I can't go over there because why? Are y'all with me here? God didn't want it like that. What God wanted was you to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then push, step into your destiny. And start from there, holy and blameless before God in love. It must really confuse heaven when we go to God and we, you know, I know that we make mistakes and we have things that we need to be healed of and cleansed of and all that kind of stuff like that. But it must really confuse God when we keep bringing up the past, things we repented, bringing up there. Must confuse angels, everything. Everything in heaven just doesn't understand it because why are we in that when we're already not seeing our destiny? Hello? Anybody out there in life? Everything that God's made has a destiny. The destiny was to be holy and blameless before Him in love. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, you walked into your destiny. And then it's the enemy that comes into our life and tells us, well, listen, you know, you don't really not. Who do you think you are? And you know, you need to, and then so we get all crazy in our heads, and then we try to put people down, or we try to, you know, elevate ourselves, or we try to do this or that in order to make ourselves feel important. My gosh, I'm already holy and blameless before God in love in heaven. Everything. Listen, I don't know about this earth. I don't really care about this earth. I don't care if anybody ever knows who Robert Richards is, but in heaven, I've already stepped in my destiny. I'm in it. I'm not going to get to it. I'm not someday going to graduate into sainthood. I am. So are you. But do you believe it? I was reading the story about the woman at the issue of blood. How all this crowd of people, Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples just looked at him and said, "What do you mean you touch it? Everybody is touching you, Lord. We're in a crowd. People are bumping into you everywhere." And he said, "No, somebody touched me. For I perceive that power has gone out of me." Now you think about this. Jesus had power available, and there was people everywhere touching him and never received it. If it was power like, you know, like, have you ever stuck your tongue on the end of a battery, you know, and see if it was, to test it, see if it was hot? Have y'all ever done that? Get some batteries out. Let's touch, let these people test these. Everybody said no. Get a little battery, those little 9 volts out, so you can touch both posts on your tongue and see if it's hot or not. Have y'all never done that? We need to do that tonight. Can we do that? There you go. Got a pack of them over there. Glory to God. New ones in the deal. Okay, if your tongue touches both of those posts at the same time, and it's wet and it's sensitive, and you touch those posts, you get an electric shock. So if Jesus was just a battery, you with me? Then all those other people say, "Oh, Lord, you touched me. You know, something jumped off of you, Jesus, and got me." Right? Or like you walk across a carpet with on your feet and you touch somebody and, you know, shocks, right? If Jesus was like that, if he was a battery, he was just an ever ready. Right? And then everybody else would have received the same thing. But there was this one woman. And this one woman went out there and she touched Jesus. But when she touched Jesus, power jumped out of Jesus and healed the woman. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" He had no idea. He didn't have any, he wasn't walking as a word, in a word of knowledge saying, "In just a minute, she's going to touch me now." He had said, "Somebody touched me. Who touched me?" He turns around looking and says, "Who touched me? Who is that? Who touched me? Somebody touched me." The disciples said, "What are you talking about? Somebody touched you? Man. What do you mean somebody touched you, Lord? Somebody touched me." The woman comes up, "It was me." How'd she know it was her? Because she was healed. Everybody else touched him. How did she know it was her? Because she was healed. She knew something happened in her body. She felt the jolt. She felt the virtue of God come in. So then he just looked there and says, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, "Way to go. Your faith did it." He didn't say anything about him. He didn't say anything about, "Yes, you've touched the hand. Kiss the ring. You've touched the hand of the Almighty." Am I right? It was a power that was in Jesus that was available to every person that was around there if they'd have just touched him in faith. Well, we don't walk in faith like we should walk in faith because we don't realize our destiny. We don't realize who we are. We don't realize that day we stepped in to Jesus and we already received, we already fulfilled all of our destiny at that moment. Now we're just walking it all out. It's too much to believe. It blows your mind that. But it's the truth, what the Word says. Before the world was ever formed, God had it all planned out. He said, "I'm going to do this. They're going to make them. We're going to have all these people. We're going to have them on there. They're going to be humans. They're going to have the ability to choose. They're going to live forever. They're going to be with me. They're going to get lost. They're going to go in the garden. It's all going to happen. This is going to go down, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. But I want them to walk in the destiny that I have for them. So, Jesus, you're going to be the perfect sacrifice. And when you're the perfect sacrifice, then I accept you, and your blood's upon it. Well, then all of those people will be holy and unblameable before me in my sight." And they said, oh, okay. So then us stupid people get saved and don't walk in. He's like, what's the matter with you? It's the same as if I would have found out that it was blood that I was a knight, and all of a sudden I really was, just came upon me because I discovered that I really was, through my family line, Sir Richards, and I was a knight, and y'all had to start calling me Sir Richards. That I am a knight. Could have walked over there to the wherever knights gather and walked into the knight's tavern and walked in there and said, I'm a knight. I want a sword. Give me thy knight sword. I want a crest. Where's my family crest? And it would have been mine because I could have proved it through my bloodline. And they'd had to give it to me. Y'all with me? It would have been mine. Rats. He just did something heroic. Are y'all with me? But wait a minute now. In Jesus, when I accepted Jesus, I didn't get this lesson. Nobody really told me this. Are y'all with me? I didn't have a contract with all this written that I am holy and unblameable before God in love. Nobody really told me that. Some things were good told me, but not anything like I'm reading tonight. That you stepped into it in your destiny. So folks, listen to me. You're not trying to get somewhere. You're already in it. If you're saved, if you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need to accept the fact that you are holy and blameless before Him in love. You need to accept the fact that all of heaven's gates are open too. You need to accept the fact that everything in heaven has already been settled and has already been done. Smartest thing you ever did was ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And so therefore, it's done. Now you're just living out the rest of your destiny. But you're already in it. You've already accepted it. You've already walked in it. You've already achieved it. You're not trying to get there. You are. Slap dab in the middle of your destiny and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. Everything that God makes has a destiny. You're living your destiny. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. So now exercise it. Exercise it. Go on to the throne. Walk in there. You're here by the rights of the blood of Jesus. You know, I've told you this story a bunch of times, and I'll tell it to you again. It's just too good. Years ago, I was preaching in the jails, and I said to the guys, and they weren't listening too good. I said, "What if you get to heaven and there's a password to get in?" Everybody just froze, and panic set in. And they said, "There's a password to get in." Nobody told us a password to get in. I said, "I didn't say there's a password to get in. You said, preacher, there's a password to get in. You said if you get to heaven, there's a password to get in. What's the password to get in?" And I said, no, you're not following me here on this, what I'm trying to say. Pastor, preacher, there's a password. We want to know the password. You got to tell us what the password is. What if we died tonight and we got to know the password? We don't know the password. Nobody told us about a password. And then just panic ensued. I lost the whole message. I couldn't get these guys back into this. So funny, I said, "I got the password. Listen, I'm going to tell you the password. Everybody listen, stop. I'm going to tell you the password. The password to get into heaven is Jesus." Everybody's like, "Oh, that's what it is. Don't mess with us like that, preacher." And then they got mad at me, you know. And I said, "Y'all just blew my whole message here." But if there is a password to get into heaven, and when I step across the line, I'm going to be shouting Jesus, because that's what my Bible says got us in there. And if anybody asks me, how do I have the rights to be who I am and to walk in the destiny that I have, of being holy and unblameable before God in love, I want to say, His name is Jesus. And so when we say there's power in the name of Jesus, think about that. All of heaven backs it up, and you're holy and unblameable before Him in love. You're set in your destiny. And so when you say, "In the name of Jesus," that means all of heaven beckons and is ready to move. At your command. Because you're part of that. It's your destiny. You're made adoption as sons. Think of that. Adoption as sons. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you're adoption as sons and you're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, Paul had this revelation then. Trying to get it across to us, and we read it and say, oh, yes, that's so sweet, but I don't feel like a son of God. We've got to quit listening to feelings. We've got to quit listening to what the world says. We've got to quit listening to what is going on and start living and setting ourselves into that place. Because I'm telling you, if you get in the presence of God, He'll heal you. If you get to the throne of God and spend some time at the throne of God, He'll tell you where you're doing some goofy things and you need to change. Or He'll tell you where you're doing everything exactly right. You don't think so? I got to tell y'all a story. Can I tell you one more story? Let me see what time. Oh, I got time for one more quickie. Okay? One more quick story. I don't think I've told this. This is a brand new one. It's fresh off the press. Only been uttered to a few people. About a month ago, I started praying and asking God for an answer about something. And so I was fairly diligent in it and just, you know, saying, Lord, I really need to know what needs to take place. I really need to know what you want us to do. I really need to know. And I had a discussion with my wife, and we sat down at the table one day and we were talking about this. And so I said, you know, I really need an answer from the Lord on a couple of things, and we need to know what to do. And so, you know, I read my word like I always did, and I prayed like I always did, but, you know, I didn't have any booming word, booming voice, booming something coming to me about it. And so, a friend of mine had been talking to me about buying a custom hat. And I like anything that has custom in front of it. I don't know why. I'm just kind of like that. And so, but this thing was pretty pricey. And so I just didn't want to say, I ain't paying that for a hat. And so I just kind of went along with him, and so I forgot all about it, you know, just forgot all about it. So, yeah, okay, well, call me when that guy's in town. We'll go, you know, whatever. I just kind of just threw it out flippantly. So then I get the call, and he says, hey, he's in town today. You know, I told you it was going to be a certain day. And I was like, hey, I forgot all about it. But I happened to be going in that direction. And so I felt bad because I didn't want to say I would, and then I didn't, and, you know, and whatever. I just kind of felt kind of wanting to get out of it, didn't know how. So I decided, well, listen, I'll go by, I'll meet the guy, talk about it. We'll just visit for a little bit, you know, and whatever. And then, you know, they can measure me and do whatever, but then, you know, I'm not going to do it. And so I went over there, and I was in the store, and there was nobody there, and I was sitting there, and the guy was talking to me, and all of a sudden, this man just sat down. And, I mean, this guy's a cowboy from West Texas. And all of a sudden, this man just sat down, and he just began to prophesy to me. Now, the last place I'd ever expected, the last thing I'd expected, but when I saw the man, something in my spirit kind of jumped, and I was either like, okay, this guy is either going to attack me or bless me. I couldn't tell which. I just knew there was just something just alarmed me a little. And this guy just began to just start to prophesy. It wasn't prophecy like we get in Pentecostal churches, like, hey, thus saith the Lord. This guy just began to say, now, it looks like your hat size is about this and about that, and, you know, and then we're going to have to do this to it and that to it. And, you know, the other day, when you were sitting talking to your wife about 2 weeks ago at your kitchen table, and you started to, you asked her this question, and I mean, he started to specifically say the things that I had said in my kitchen. And he said, you were asking the Lord about this question, and then he spoke to me, and he told me to just tell you, and he just started talking. I mean, the presence of God just came in there. So much that no one spoke. I was frozen in the power of God. Nobody walked in the store for over an hour. This guy sat there and talked, and he'd just prophesy like that. And he'd say, now, do you like to wear your hat? And I was like, I'm thinking, like, I don't care about a hat. Keep talking. You know, what are you talking about? I haven't the slightest idea about this. And so he just kept going on. I've never in 25 years of me walking as a Christian, or 27 years now walking as a Christian, have I ever had anybody speak so directly to me in life? Nothing that was so unbelievably pointed. You know, anybody can walk up to you and say, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that he really loves you. Well, you know, that's a pretty easy one. This is very pinpointed. Every question I asked the Lord about, he answered. Okay? The point I'm trying to make is, how many times do we sit and do we pray and do we ask God for things, but we really don't expect to receive anything? How many times do we go through the motions of asking in prayer, but we don't really expect to receive? The Lord really opened up my eyes and he showed me with that encounter about how much our prayers are being heard and about how much really is open and available to us that we really need to be aware of. Why? Because you have stepped into your destiny. You're holy and unblameable before him in love. He's not there to look at you and say, you know, you really need to straighten that up. He's there to say, I got some things I want you to do for me on earth, and this is the way we need to do it. I need you to do this for me. And we say, oh, Lord, how could we ever do anything for you? Oh, not me. I'm so inferior. I can't do this because, you know my weakness and you know what I've done and you know my past and what are they going to think? And so-and-so's going to, I mean, you know, when Ananias was spoken to and said, listen, you need to go lay hands on Paul and he's going to do something. First thing he said, oh, Lord, we know who Paul is and he's killing people and you want me to go talk to him? We make Ananias look like a bold as a lion guy. Because we're all like, oh, gosh, I can't do that, Lord. Because what if, what about, I don't know. Because we've got all this internal junk going on because we will not allow ourselves to see ourselves as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. And it stunts us and it keeps us from walking in our destiny. It keeps us from being the men and women of God who we really are. It stops us because we're plagued by fear, we're plagued by terror, we're plagued by the things that the enemy wants to put inside of our minds. Because we don't feel like we've earned it. We're still trying to do penance. We're still trying to walk in all that kind of garbage. It's an amazing thing to wake up in the morning and say, man, I don't really care who loves me on earth. I just know that everybody in heaven does. Making a difference what they think about me down here. I'm just glad I know what they think about me up there. Listen to me. I read that this way. All right? I didn't write it. I didn't promise it. He did. All I'm doing is believing in it. If he justified me, then what can anybody say? If he said he's not going to lay, who can bring a charge to God's elect? Who's the enemy to tell me that I'm not going to heaven? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now you've got Jesus, the resurrected Savior, sitting beside God, poking him, saying, hey, look, Daddy, CW down there? Look, see what he said? He needs some help. Let's not think too much of the religious mind here, but how do you think Jesus would intercede to his Father? Oh, Heavenly Father, thou that sitteth upon. Maybe I'm making this too simple, but my son's sitting right over there and he don't intercede to me like that when he wants something. What's really kind of funny is Dwayne and I talking about our lovely, blessed, awesome family sons, love them. But most of the time we find out they just take it and then we find out they got it. That's just kind of the way it seems to work. Fathers and sons. I'm just looking for it. And I say, where's that? I said, let me call Joe. Joe, where you got that? Yeah, I got it. Okay. It's not a lot of intercession there. From the son to the father. My point is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, I don't think there's a lot of begging on his part to get God to do something for you. He just merely brings up, hey, Daddy, Chad. He's there. He also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril of sword, as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Resurrection power. I said to the Sunday school class this morning, so I'm not ashamed of it. I don't watch a lot of sports. I'm not a big golf, basketball player. Only thing I really like to watch is boxing. And the reason why I like to watch boxing is because no matter who the champion is, when they walk into the ring, the underdog has a chance to change everything in a moment and get a wild punch out of left field and maybe knock the guy out. And the other day I was watching a boxing match, and it happened. The guy, the champion who had the belt, he thought he was something. And this guy from nowhere hit this guy, knocked him on the canvas, and knocked him out. And everybody was like, and I just said, that's the way Jesus wants to do it in our life. You look like the underdog. You look like you don't stand a chance to make it in life. But like David slinging the stone, God wants to work in your life through that resurrection power and knock that sucker out that's giving you a hard time in life. That temptation, that whatever that weakness is in our life, whatever it is that's coming against you in life, he wants to just come up with a punch that nobody's expecting. Undercut the champion, knock him down, and he's still wondering what's going on while you're shouting victory and doing the chicken dance. And then the thing I love about fighters is then they're interviewing him later. He's like, yeah, I was prepared for this. I just really wanted to. I knew I was going to do it. And you're like, you didn't stand a chance. I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do for you. It's time to rise up to your feet. It's time to get out there and lie. It's time to start shouting the praises of God. It's time to start shouting that Jesus is resurrected, that there's power on the inside of you. Every time that there's a circumstance or a thing rises up in your life, you ought to be speaking to it and say, you think you can defeat me? God is for me. God is on my side. Greater is he that's in me that's in this world. You think you can win? You can't win. What are you talking about? Thing, get out of here. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And watch then the resurrection power that's in you burst forth. And watch things change. Watch things that you don't even, you may not see the lightning strike, but you just begin to watch things change. You begin to watch attitudes change and things change and events change and things start lining up because you're operating like you were intended to operate in life. Walking in that resurrection power that's in you every day.